You guys hear me good out there? Cool. Like Jay said, my name's Adam, and I'm one of the family pastor here, I guess not one of them. I've been here at Fellowship for about 7 years or so, and so I think I know a lot of you guys. Good to see you. So this is week two, like Jay said, of A Man and His Mission. And just in case you weren't here last week, basically what we're doing is we're talking about our mission here at Fellowship is to make disciples who live by God's grace for His glory at home and across the world. The idea of making disciples. And like Jay said, when it comes to being a man, we want to talk about how as men, we act and we function and our attributes, characteristics. Jay stumbled a little bit last week trying to describe. He said these aren't really like characteristics or traits or attributes. I don't know what to call these, like a framework. But also the same way that we want to be living these things out, they're also things that we want to be discipling other people in as well. And so last week, if you were here, it got a little uncomfortable at times when Jay was reading some passages from Jonathan and David and how they loved each other and were intimate with each other. And so I think maybe you'll find today even there's a couple spots where some language comes up that you're like, oh, that just makes me a little uncomfortable. I'm there with you. I get that too. And so I'm excited though. I'm going to do it a little differently though and have you start off by just discussing something at your table. And then here in a little bit, I'm going to call you and just kind of say, hey, each table, give me some feedback. So here's the discussion I'm going to give you. For a couple minutes, and you can just off the top of your head. So here's the question. How does the typical man in our culture show and express care and support for other men? Okay? So like just think about typical men in American culture. How do they care for and express support for each other? Go ahead. Take a couple minutes and just discuss that real quick. All right, guys. So here's what we're going to do. What I want is I'm just going to call in some random tables and just share with me. So here's the tendency in a question like this. Don't feel like you have to give the spiritual answer, right? We're talking about the typical American male in our culture, okay? So we'll just start with this table. Well, what are some things you guys came up with? How does the typical American male express concern and support for other men? Yeah, you guys, go ahead.
Some of the things we came up at the table, meeting for coffee.
Okay.
Listening well.
Okay. Okay. Cool. What about you guys in the back there? Okay. Go ahead and help. Okay. Let's go middle right here, Rick, your table. Okay, yeah. What else? Who else has got anything? Any other tables want to share?
Well, we said grunt.
Grunt.
How does a typical man, he doesn't.
Okay.
And then the other one is time.
Yeah.
Because we all value time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting. So your answers, and some of you were spot on with what I was thinking as I was thinking through this talk when Jay asked me to teach on this topic, was if you think about our American culture and you think about like, where do we find how most men care for each other? It's probably on television. That's kind of, you know, whether it's a movie or a sitcom or a drama, that's kind of the pervading thing. And how do they always portray the man? He's very passive in the way he cares for his friends. He maybe just sends a quick text, is like, hey, I'm there if you need me, but you need to reach out and let me know if you need me. Or they're just not there at all. Or it's very simple, very maybe superficial and shallow, like, hey, your wife's thinking of divorcing you. Let's go grab a beer and take your mind off of it, right? Like, it's very passive. It's very reactive. In our culture, there's something about manhood, and maybe I feel this maybe in my generation more than some of you generation, but there's something about as a man when our friends or someone in our family or someone at our work or someone we know is going through something and we know we should care for them. We know we should support them. We don't. It feels uncomfortable. It feels weird to reach out and take the initiative and say, hey, I'm going to stay in a place that's maybe not even my place to step into and help you. We instead wait for them to seek us out. And it's very interesting that what happens in that culture, because as I was thinking about that, back to my father. And maybe you could think back to your dad, but my dad passed away a couple years ago. And I was thinking back when I was young, how he showed care for people. And if someone was to ask me, man, Adam, was your dad caring for people? Absolutely. My dad was the kind of guy, he lived in a small town in Oklahoma, outside of Oklahoma City, but if somebody called him and needed something, it doesn't matter what he would be doing. I remember being like 10 or 11 years old, we'd be at his house, and we'd be watching Discovery Channel or National Geographic late at night, and we'd be like in our, you know, shorts, underwear, whatever we were doing at the time, just watching TV on the couch, and someone would call and say, hey, we have a flat tire. And he would drop everything and go instantly. He would be there for them. But he could hear a story of someone saying, hey, they're going through this, and he would just say, that's a shame. He would never reach out to them. It was the only time he stepped in to help is when someone sought him out and said, hey, I need you. And that's kind of how it is in our culture. As men, when it comes to caring for each other, when it comes to stepping in and helping others, we are passive, we're non-emotional, we are responsive and not intentional. And so tonight, as we kind of continue talking about this idea of a man and his mission, looking at five or six different framework, attributes, characteristics. Jay, I can't remember. We never decided on a word for it, did we? No, we tried, but we never did. As we look at these tonight, what we want to do is we want to take it a step further, and we want to talk about how a man who lives on mission with Jesus has a heart for others, has a heart for others. And so what we're going to do, and I'm going to draw this, and I'm just going to preface this by saying, I hope this is a safe space, I'm not the best at handwriting. So by the time I get to the third word, you probably can't read it, so just remember what I say. So what I want you to think of is I want you to think of this as kind of the heart, okay? And the next step would be our head. And then the next step would be our actions. And what I'm hoping tonight we realize that for a lot of us as men, when it comes to caring for people, helping people, being there for them, we tend to think, let's figure out how to do that. But when you see in Scripture, all of our actions for caring for people, all of our actions for being there for people, for serving people, for loving people, for doing those sort of things, all come from our heart first. And here's the problem. Sometimes we just try to jump straight to, okay, I'm supposed to have a heart for people. Now I'm going to go do some. But I'm going to argue there's actually a middle step as well. And we're going to break this down. I'm going to give you 4 points that I hope are super practical that maybe you'll see. And I'll just write these under here so you kind of can see them. And we'll go through it here in just a second. When I think of heart, I'm going to talk about how we should be loving others. When I talk about our head, I'm going to talk about how we should be praying for others. When I talk about our actions, I'm going to talk about how we should be there and serve them. So these are kind of the framework of what we're going to talk about. And I would actually argue that as men in this room, all of us, I think, are men who are here because we are striving to follow Jesus. We want to be a disciple of Jesus. We want to follow him. We want to live on mission the way he wants us to. And as men who are trying to do that, your devotion, your commitment to Christ is actually illustrated, it's actually shown, it's actually demonstrated by the way that you love, pray, and serve the people around you. I'm actually going to argue tonight that it doesn't matter anything about your biblical knowledge. It doesn't matter any of the things that you even do for the church. The biggest example of men showing the world Jesus is how we love and pray and are there and serve other people in our community. And so that's kind of where we're going today. And so the first one we're going to talk about is loving others. So for men who want to have a heart for others, the first thing we need to do is love others. We need to love others. We can't care and support people unless we have a heart for them first. I'm going to read this. This is John 13, 34 and 35. And all the references I have will be on the screen too if you need to see them. So it says, this is the words of Jesus. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, right? He's talking to his closest friends, and he's saying, hey, I've got something new I want to tell you. Hey, I want you to love people. Now, that wasn't really revolutionary. That wasn't really new, right? Like, they had probably heard this forever. Like, oh, love people. Cool, right? But he breaks it down, and he says, the way I have loved you. For him, think of how Jesus loved people. He laid down his life for them. He sacrificed for them. He never thought himself better. I mean, he's the Son of God. He's Christ in human form. He's God incarnate. And he never thinks himself better than anyone. He loved them. And he says, I want you to love others the way I love you. And listen to this, verse 35. He says, by this one thing, everyone will know that you are my disciples, the way you love one another. Notice that he says, like, and don't miss this, what Jesus is saying is he's saying, listen,
And I'm gonna pretend he's talking to men. I know he's talking to men and women, but just for our context, I'm going to say he's talking to men because he's talking to them too. He's saying, men, listen, the defining characteristic that the world will know that you follow me will be how you love other people. Jesus doesn't say the defining characteristic that will show the world that you know me is by how much biblical knowledge you have, by how you serve at your local church, by the way that you pray every single night with your family and do a devotional around the worship and fire. It doesn't say anything about going on mission trips. It doesn't say about, you know, calling people out on their sin. He doesn't say anything of that. He says the way that the world knows that you follow me is your love for other people. And so as men who are trying to follow Jesus, it seems that if we're actually to care for people and to be there for people and to support people, it's got to start in the way that we love people. So here's where it can get uncomfortable. I think there's a little bit of language barrier for us when Jesus talks about loving other people. I think at times in our culture, maybe the word love has kind of been emasculated a little bit, and you hear like, oh, love people, right? And you're like, okay, like I'm going to go to my buddy's house and bring him chocolates, or like that's not what he's talking about. It's not like this fluffy kind of emotional love. In fact, the way Jesus is actually speaking here, it's not really necessarily an emotional thing. It's more about actions. It's more about the heart behind it. And so I wrote down some examples, like what would it look like for men to love other people? And some of these might, you know, stab you in the heart a little bit, so I apologize. Like what about this one? Loving other people means you want the best for them, not because you're jealous of them. Loving other people means you're okay with the other guy getting the promotion over you. Loving other people means that you are okay with their successes despite your failures. Loving other people means you are happy when they are happy. You are sad when they are sad. You rejoice when they rejoice. You are there. You feel their pain. Now, just the idea of feeling their pain can be, for some of us, some of you men may be extremely emotional. You may be married and you're the emotional one in your relationship. Maybe you are like, I have no emotions at all. I'm a tin man. That's okay. But the point is, if we're to love people, we have to love them. There's no other way to break it down. Like, it starts with how you actually love them. And the problem is, and Jay said this to the leaders earlier, and I was glad he said this because it was in my notes as well, but sometimes as men, we only assume that the way to love people is the way we would want to be loved. And maybe you've experienced this with your wife, your spouse, if you have one, or just your coworker friends or whatever, but it's kind of like this idea of like, hey, if someone was to love me, this is what I would expect, and so that's what we want to give. But what Jesus is saying is, no, love them the way I loved you. And what did he do? He found our needs. He found our wants. Jesus didn't come down and just say, hey, I'm going to love everyone like them. It's very individual. It's very unique. He loves people where they are and calls them to something. And so love for us has to be different. And let's be honest, sometimes the hardest people to love are those that are different from us. And I don't know why it is, but as men, we have a really hard time with this. I was talking to my wife about this a couple days ago, and she said, you know, like, I think there's this stereotype that, like, women like to, like, have their little clique and their little circle, and, like, if you don't fit with them, you're not a part of the group or whatever. And we started talking, and I think that's actually more prevalent in men than women. Think about it. Who are the people we actually probably love the most? The people who are just like us, right? Like, if we're really into football, the people we love are the people we can talk to about football. If we're really into, I don't know, Dungeons and Dragons or darts or playing pool, or if we're really into swimming or running marathons, the people that we love are the people we have that commonality with. It's really easy to love people who are like us. But it's what's interesting is Jesus is saying you need to love everyone. As men, if you were to have a heart for other people, if you're to care for other people, to support other people, it starts with your heart, love. Second thing is this, is once we figure out, okay, like my heart is starting to turn towards people, I'm starting to realize that if I'm ever going to care for people, if I'm ever going to have concern for people and be there for people and serve people, I realize my heart just needs to love people. Some people, I'll be honest with you in the room, some of you just actually need to start loving people, not any specific people. You just need to love people because you just don't like people at all, and you just need to love people, okay? So, like, the idea here is, like, love people, want to be around people, want the best for people, care for people. That should lead to something else. The second thing is your prayer for others. This is one I think as men we try to skip. We have this tendency to say, okay, I want to care for people. I want to show support for people. I want to show concern for people. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, I love them. Now, what can I go do? But it's incredibly interesting that if you think about, like, if love is in our heart and then prayer, I think prayer is sort of something that happens in our head. It's sort of an intellectual thing at times. Yes, there is this spiritual element to it as well. But prayer is also communication that comes through words that are in our head. It's an intelligence thing. It's part of our head. We need to be praying for other people. And here, I'm going to use Paul as an example. Paul was a man of prayer in Scripture. And what's interesting is his prayers stemmed from how much he loved the people he was praying for. Check this out. In 1 Thessalonians 3, this is 9 and 10. It says this. So, by the way, Paul had 42 prayers in his 13 books. There's actually a book you can buy on Amazon. It's called Praying with Paul, and it's fascinating. And they basically just take every prayer that Paul ever wrote, and they break it down and talk about all the different parts of it. It's super fascinating. I have a copy in my office if anyone wants to see it this Sunday or something. But so in 1 Thessalonians 3, he says this, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all before our God." What does he say? "As we pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face." Listen to that language. Paul says, we are praying earnestly, day and night, to see you face to face. You get this language that Paul has this yearning to be with the people that he loves. He wants to see them. He wants to sit down with them. He wants to know what's going on in their lives. He's praying for them day and night. Check out his prayer in 2 Timothy. This is chapter 1, verse 1 and 7. He's praying for Timothy. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus." He says to Timothy, "My beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." What does he say? "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." You hear Paul's heart in that? I mean, he's looking at a younger man, and he's saying, "I long to be with you. I remember you constantly in my prayers, day and night. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy." For Paul, because he recognized how much Christ loved him, and that love compelled him to love others, he began to constantly, day and night, never stopping to pray for people. Question: when was the last time you just stopped to pray for other people in your life? Not when they seek you out, when they say, "Hey, can you pray for this?" But just as a man who's pursuing Jesus, who's actively, intentionally praying for the people in your life. You see, Paul, as much as we want to say Paul was this intellectual, theological giant, first and foremost, he was a man of prayer. He was smart, yeah. I mean, he wrote half the New Testament, right? I mean, he was incredibly gifted, incredibly talented, filled with the Holy Spirit. God spoke through him in incredible ways. But before he was any of that, prayer permeated everything that Paul did. Before Paul went anywhere, he prayed. Before he did anything, he prayed. He showed others his care for them by how he prayed for them, right? Half the things that Paul did, if a pastor did it now, the whole congregation would be so upset at him. But Paul did it because he had been praying for them, and they knew that he loved them. As men, we should be praying for others. See how it works? He loved, which in turn was this outflowing of his heart where he longed to be prayed for and prayed for. I remember probably about 15 years ago when I was a new believer, and I grew up in a home, and some of you have heard my story before. The idea of Christ and Jesus and following God was so foreign to me. Family never even prayed at Christmas. We never went to church on Easter. I actually didn't step foot in a church until I was like 19 years old, and that was just to play basketball because there was some girls there that I liked. I had no concept of God. And the idea of when I became a new believer, I was a youth pastor at the time. I had been a youth pastor for about a year, and I sat down with this guy, and I was probably 24 at the time, 23, and he was probably 65. And he had been single his whole life, just this incredibly wise man. And I remember sitting down with him, and before he asked me a single question at Starbucks, we had never met, we just saw each other, and he's like, hey, let's go have coffee. Before he asked me anything, you know, typically you're gonna, hey, tell me about your family. Tell me about this. His very first thing was, Adam, before we start, how can I pray for you? And I just remember the feeling in that moment of like, I don't even know this guy, but he loves me. He cares for me. And it never failed for the next 3 years. Every time I saw him, whether it was in passing at a grocery store, whether it was intentional at Starbucks, whether we were at church on a Sunday morning, the conversation never ended with him saying, without him saying, Adam, how can I pray for you? And it made me feel different. It showed me he cared. It showed me that he wasn't just interested in me as a person. He was interested in me as an older man to a younger man. When was the last time you just spent time praying for people? What's funny is I say this, and like I said, I joked earlier, it's funny that Jay gave me this topic, or I picked this topic, I can remember what happened, but I'm actually really horrible at this. So like I'm standing in front of you as a little bit of a hypocrite at times right now, because prayer for me is actually one of the most uncomfortable spiritual disciplines of all of them. I would much rather fast for a week than pray with somebody for 10 minutes. I don't know why. I think it's because to me, prayer feels way more emotional and intimate. But I remember a couple years ago, I had a student confront me. We were on a mission trip, and they said, hey, Adam, I've been a student of yours for 4 years, and I don't think you've ever prayed for me. Do you not like me? And I just remember being like, oh, man, if that, I don't want that. And so my question is, how often are you praying for people? So many times we say, oh, I love people. I want to be there for them. Let's go do this. But sometimes just praying for people shows them how much you really care more than actually what you do. Third thing is this. I want to make sure we finish in time for you guys to discuss. The third thing is this, is once we get to our actions, I'm going to give you two different actions that I think can help us. The first one is this, being there for others. A man who has a heart for others is simply just there for them. I'm going to read you Galatians 6. This is Paul writing. He says, brothers, and you're going to have to watch some of this stuff. Some of this don't take out of context here. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. And here's the important part. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Paul says, hey, he's encouraging the people in Galatia to bear one another's burdens. It's our duty as believers, and I would argue as men, we need to be leading out in this, to not passively go along with, but as our duty to be intentionally seeking out and actively bearing one another's burdens. When someone staggers, we should be the ones helping steady the load. If someone is straining, we should be the one helping bear the burden. If someone is stumbling, we should be the ones lifting them up. Maybe a personal example, when my father died a couple years ago, I was at work at the time, and my assistant came into, I was meeting with Tim Caldwell, and she came into my office and said, hey, I'm so sorry, there's an emergency, your mom called, you need to go home. And so I got home, and Tim called me on my way out, and I said, hey, my father just passed away, I'm going to have to get back to Oklahoma, there was some sort of accident. And in that moment, I still remember if the idea of being there for others. I got home, got inside my car, or got in my house, started trying to pack a bag to go to Oklahoma, and within 10 minutes in my driveway was Ben Parkinson, Brandon Bernard, and Tim Caldwell. And they texted me and said, hey, we know you might not want to talk to anyone right now, but we're here for you, and we're in the driveway praying. They were there. They actually never talked to me. They never said anything, but they were there. When it came time for the funeral a couple days later, it was 5 hours away in Oklahoma City, and three people on staff here, they spent 5 hours to drive to Oklahoma City the morning of so they could be there for a 10 a.m. funeral and then turn right back around 3 hours later and drove 5 hours back. They were there. I didn't ask them to be there. They took the initiative. They were bearing one another's burdens. Men, that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the picture of Christ. That's what it looks like for men to love one another, to bear one another's burdens. We don't wait for our buddy to text us and say, hey, I'm having a really hard time right now. Can we meet? No, no, no. We recognize they're having a hard time and reach out to them. Hey, is everything okay? It seems like you're going through a lot right now. How can I help? We take the initiative. We engage first. If it's a loss of a family member, we're there. When kids are going through tough stuff, we're there. When marriages are struggling, we show up. When business plans don't go well, we show up. When we start to see patterns of sin infiltrating the lives of our friends, we show up. We are there. Men who live on mission show up. They don't hide. They don't wait. They're not passive. They're there. In fact, I would say one of the defining characteristics of men who follow Jesus is the fact that they are there. They step into the mess. They don't wait to be invited into the mess. They step in and initiate. Lastly, before we run out of time, is the fourth thing is a man who has a heart for others, he serves. So it's super easy, right? Like, hey, I love others, so I'm going to pray for others, which means I'm going to be there for others, and now I'm going to be actively, intentionally serving others. Let me give you a passage, 1 John 3, and this is 16 and 18. It says, by this we know that he, being Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in just word or talk, but in deed and in truth. We need to serve. If we really love people, we'll be there and we'll serve them. What are some practical ways this could look like? We don't do the things others don't want to do. We aren't above anything. We model humility. We lay down our lives for our families, our spouses. We step up for injustice. We offer our expertise to the community, not just for personal gain. That's how we serve. If we realize that, hey, I could do this or this could be beneficial for my family, we choose the family. Hey, I could do this or this could help my buddy and I have time. We do this for our buddy. Hey, I could do this and this thing could make me a lot of money. Or hey, you know what? I could do this and it could radically change Central Arkansas. Sometimes we choose that one over the financial gain. We serve. We're there. Have you ever known someone who was so willing to go the extra mile and help people that it was contagious just to be around them? The kind of man that the moment he heard there was a need, he stepped in and helped. The type of man that was contagious to be around. He was never there for his own gain. He just showed up and said, how can I help? What can I do? These are the people, when you're moving, you don't even ask for help. They just show up with a truck. And you remember those moments. When you are having a hard time with a kid, you come home and it turns out one of them came over and fed the dog. They serve. That's what it means to be a man who cares for others and serves others.